And now Ross is going to bring us our reading this morning, which is found in Psalm 119, verses 121 to 128. Thank you. Thank you, Ross.
It's page 620 in the Pew Bible, if that helps you. I have done what is righteous and just. Do not leave me to be oppressed, to the oppressors. Ensure your servant's well-being. Let not the arrogant oppress me. My eyes fail at looking for your salvation, looking for your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your love and teach me your decrees. I am your servant. Give me discernment that I may understand your statutes. It is time for you to act, O Lord. Your law has been broken. Because I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold, and because I consider all your precepts right, I hit every wrong path. Amen.
We read from Psalm 119 this morning, which is a tremendous psalm. It's the longest psalm in the Bible, of course. And if you look, I think it must be in your Bible as well, each eight verses comes under the letter of the Greek alphabet. So as there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, as there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and each section has eight stanzas, so that's where we get our 176 from. You think? Yeah, that's it. 822s are 176. And they are the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And it's amazing, really, that each verse begins with that letter. So Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So each verse begins with the letter Aleph. That's easy to remember, then, you see. You can remember the whole psalm if you get into that sort of thinking. In fact, it is said that William Wilberforce, that great reformer who God used to abolish slavery, he quoted this psalm. He lived somewhere around Hyde Park in London, and of course he was a parliamentarian. He quoted this psalm each time he walked from Hyde Park to the House of Commons. And he said it was such a blessing in his life and motivated him to do all that he accomplished in his life. So if I could read the first section, Aleph, it reads like this in English, okay? So perhaps it illustrates what I'm trying to say. A blessing is on them that are undefiled in the way and walk in the law of Jehovah. A blessing is on them that keep the testimonies and seek him with their whole heart. Also, on them that do no wickedness but walk in his ways, also on them that do no wickedness and walk in his ways. A law hast thou given unto us. The next verse, Ah, Lord, that my ways were made so direct that I might keep thy statutes. And so on. So every verse begins with that letter. We've read this morning from verse 121 to 128. And I want to just focus for a few minutes on verse 126. I'll read that verse. It is time for you to act, O Lord. Your law is being broken. Or I like another translation which reads, It is time for you to act, Lord. They have regarded your law as void. The whole theme of the psalm is the word of God. How important the word of God is. And several weeks ago we were talking about this, that the Word of God is central to the life of this church and indeed should be central to our lives. And I love it when there's the pulpit and the Bible is open in the pulpit, and that's making such a powerful statement that that book, the Word of God, is central to our life and to our witness and to our worship. And the whole psalm is about the Word. But in this section, the psalmist, whoever they were — we are not told who the psalmist is in this particular case — but the psalmist is lamenting the fact that God's Word is not honored. That there are people who oppose God's Word, who ridicule it, who say it is not relevant. I see that it reminds us that although things have changed so much from the psalmist's day, many things have changed, obviously, but one thing hasn't changed. It has always been opposed, God's Word. There have always been people who have said, God's Word really is irrelevant. God's Word is void. God's Word isn't true. God's Word is outdated. God's Word was for a different age. Even here in the Old Testament, people were saying that. They have made your law void. They break it because to them it's not important. See, I think sometimes we can get into the mindset of, ooh, it's never been as hard as this to be a Christian. It's never been as difficult as this. Well, it's true, of course, that there are many pressures upon us to go with the flow and to conform. But never let us think that there were times when it was easy. It's always been hard to be a Christian. And it's always been hard because the world generally is opposed to God. When you seek to live for Christ, and when you seek to live according to this book, invariably you will find that you'll be swimming against the tide, swimming against the current. The general current will be going this way, and God's Word is telling you to go that way. And the psalmist, in his day, experienced that. And his prayer to God was this: Lord, it is time for you to act. Lord, it is time for you to intervene. It is time for you to make bare your arm and to come and do something. And the burden of his heart is, Lord, it's time. It is time. It is high time. And I suppose the challenge of this talk this morning is this: is whilst we live in a world very different and yet very similar to what we are reading about here, the Lord is, I'm sure, putting it upon us, our hearts, is, first of all, how concerned are we? We should be concerned, and we should do something about it. And we haven't got time this morning to think about all the things we could do, but the one thing that the psalmist is doing right here in this verse is this: he is praying. He's coming to the Lord in intercessory prayer on behalf of the people. And he is saying, Lord, it is time for you to act. And we live in a day like any other age where people are making void the law of God. They treat it as irrelevant. In fact, they seem to delight in doing the exact opposite to what God's law says. And as God's people, we should be really burdened about so much that is happening in society right now. And we should be before the Lord in prayer. Lord, Lord, it's time for you to act. And we have these attendant promises from God's word that when my people seek me and when they pray, they will find me and I will hear their prayer and I will pour out a blessing upon them. You know that famous text in Chronicles, is it? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Now, do we believe that? It's time for us as God's people to rise and say, Lord, will you come? It's time for you to act. And church history will tell us that when God's people have done that, God has heard. And God has done amazing things. Read through the history of revivals, whether they're in Ireland or Wales or on the continent or in the US. Times when God did amazing things. And in each time, you will invariably find this, that before any stirring from heaven, any movement of the Holy Spirit of God in the lands, every time that happened, it was preceded by a burden of prayer on the part of God's people. See, God ends his Old Testament with this promise. Put me to the test. Put me to the test. And seek me. And see if I won't open the windows of heaven. Lovely picture. Open the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that you'll hardly be able to contain it. Now, see, that's exciting, isn't it? And instead of throwing our arms up in despair and saying, "Ooh, look what's happening around us," Let us turn to our God and let us come before him and say, Lord, it is time for you to act. They've made void your law. They are regarding it as just outdated. In fact, they say, your word and Christianity does more harm than good. Lord, the glory of your name is at stake. Come, Lord, come and pour us out that blessing. We are excited about the possibility of a new minister. We are excited about the opportunities that will open up. But look, we don't have to wait. We don't have to put everything on hold until May or June or whenever he will come. If he comes. Like right now, God is saying to us, I want to work now. I want to do something now. So that you will have the blessing. And that blessing will flow out to those in need around you. Whether we were thinking about the other week, those who have no food, those who have no water, those who have no homes, those who have ill health, those who have no education. Trust me, and the blessing can flow. Oh, may it be so, for his name's sake. Amen.